Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Matthew Park as my special expert guest. Matthew grew up in the great community of Acadia Valley, is a WNBF pro bodybuilder, vice president of RE7, president of INBF Canada, and owner of MattParkMuscle.com. Matt graduated with honors from the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology with a diploma in personal fitness training, is an NASM and CSEP certified trainer, and a corrective exercise and sports performance specialist who has worked with numerous amateur and professional athletes in such sports as bodybuilding and football. Matt is the author of three books and is the assistant editorial manager for Pro Natural Muscle magazine. His personal mission lies in motivating, educating, and inspiring others in being the best that they can possibly be. Matt's leadership and continual dedication towards ongoing growth and self-improvement are key cornerstones to what encompasses his vision and core values. Good morning, Matt, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Good morning, Corey. Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I'm just very thankful that I can have the opportunity to talk to you today. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, you and I love to train, and we're into that realm of consciousness. So I think that what everyone would probably like to know first is, tell us about your athletic background and how you eventually became a competitive natural bodybuilder.
No problem, Corey. Basically, I started lifting weights when I was 12 years old. I'm from a farm. Acadia Valley actually is only 100 people, and I grew up on a farm for 18 years. So I grew up with really no access to gym equipment. My uncle Mike had built his own workout gym on the farm out of a shed and his own equipment from basically metal steel parts, and that's how I trained for about 7 years before I left when I was 18. So I basically got into it because I was not good at sports. I was a 100-pound weakling in school and was the kind of guy that no one really wanted to pick to go on their sport team. And I really wanted to challenge myself and really push my boundaries and be the best I could be as a person. And natural bodybuilding was something I fell in love with when I started lifting weights when I was 12. I read the magazines. I was learning books, reading books. I was testing things and really all kinds of things try to improve my body on an exercise level and really strength level to improve myself naturally. And from there, I did my first, it was a non-tested show when I was 17 years old. And then I did an actual natural show when I was 18 years old. And from there, I just sort of grew into my passion and built myself from there. And it's been a beautiful journey ever since.
Wow, sounds incredible. Well, you and I have that same thing in common. I started when I was 12. That was in the Arnold era. I was born in 57, so I guess I started in 1969. Now, I had him all over the walls, and I didn't know anything about steroids. I thought, you know, I was reading the Weider editorials. It was about a noble, good life, and he had hidden from my mind the fact that all these athletes were cranking. What about your heroes? Did you also read the muscle mags when the guys now you know were jacked up, or did you have pictures of bodybuilders on steroids on your wall too?
You know, I did, Corey, and you know, thank you for sharing that. It's really great to hear someone who I really am honored to be talking to you, because you're like a mentor more for me. I'm a young guy, so I'm really thankful you shared that. But as far as my idols that I looked up to, I didn't really have an actual specific idol. But what I did do, which my Uncle Mike keeps laughing at me for doing this, I subscribed to a magazine that actually is no longer in existence, but it was a magazine back in the day called Natural Muscular Development. It was actually the natural version. They changed it over to Muscle Development actually after that. But
Steve Blackman.
It was, yes, sir. It sure was.
Who I know and personally, and I got lots of stories to tell you about that, but please go ahead.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. There's a lot more for us in common now. But I tore out all the magazine pictures of guys that I have in the gym, even today, back on the farm, of guys like Greg Rando, Skip LaCour, even guys like Eddie Robinson, who he competed as an IFBB pro, but you know, from what I understood, he was always a gentleman that stayed clean in his sport. The guys like Lee Labrada, even the other natural athletes. basically, I really had on my wall. And I do have, as you said, Corey, I've got my big Arnold picture still on there as well. He's sort of a guy that's iconic, whether you look at it from both angles or not. And it's just a really beautiful, wonderful sport that I think is just the best sport in the world. And it just allows everybody to, you know, inspire other people, but live their best self and do it in a way that's really natural and pure. And you can do it for years upon years and be that guy at 75 years old and still be looking in amazing shape.
For my 12th birthday, my mom bought me the Charles Atlas course. It was in the back of a Superman comic. Superman was my hero. He was very muscular. And so I got the course, and it was dynamic tension. And I was motivated secretly. I never told anybody this, but it was the girl watching the guy get sand kicked in his face. And I thought, there's no freaking way that's ever going to happen to me. So it was really my secret true reason for pumping, for building the muscle, was really, it was a female attraction thing. And later on, I would learn about strength training and how valuable weight training could be, and you could transfer the value from the gym as an athlete, like you played football. So what about you? You're on a farm. How did you get involved in weight training? What motivated you in that scenario to do something that I'm sure a lot of other 12-year-olds weren't doing?
Well, I think the motivating factor, Corey, was the fact that no one else was doing it except my Uncle Mike. And my high school that I went to had 140 kids, and that's over three grades. So it's a pretty small school, and there was maybe two, three guys that did weights, but did it kind of more so sporadically in the course of a year when they felt like it. And I did it because I just loved being strong. I actually would do really kind of weird things in the farm. I actually would take railroad ties and I'd tie them together with chains and try to pull them around the yard. And I would try to push these small square bales around and kind of have little obstacle courses to test myself. And I really enjoyed that because it's not like I wasn't a hockey player growing up. I didn't play hockey, didn't play very many sports at all. Bodybuilding and strength training and powerlifting were my passions, and I just loved doing it.
Well, that's great, man. That's like pure motive. And I think that very few people today can actually talk about why they're doing whatever it is that they're doing. And what I love about bodybuilding and the sport is that you can be very clear about what it is that you're doing and why you're doing it. And it never comes to an end. It just remains as pure as the driven snow. It's just clean and great and wonderful. In fact, it's even better. It just gets better. Now, you are the president of the INBF. So you're online. Tell us about the inception of INBF, what it is, and maybe what you do in your role as president.
Well, thanks, Corey. I'd be happy to. And I'm actually going to start kind of in the very beginning because the INBF actually came to be. I was 20 years old and I was in college, didn't have very much money. I was probably just barely making my rent. And I said to myself, I woke up and I'm like, you know, now is the time. Because one of my goals when I was 16, and you know, I have my goal list, is I wanted to actually start and own and run a natural bodybuilding federation. I didn't know what it was or who it was. I just wanted to own and run one to promote the sport I love. And I woke up at 20 years old and I said, you know what, now is the time to do this. And I just said to myself, however I have to do this, I'll make it work. I actually ended up asking two of my personal training clients who had no money at the time to give me a year advance for training sessions. So I actually was able to get $5,000 advance to run the first show, which was 2 years away, and basically kind of work through means of training people to do services for me. And it was, you know, one of the most gratifying experiences I ever had, and I love it. And the sport really started, INBF started, just from, because I wanted to serve the athletes. I wanted to serve the sport. I wanted to have a really integrity-driven federation that did full drug testing with polygraph and urine, and, you know, and really served athletes. It wasn't about me or anybody. It was just serving the athletes in the sport and promoting it properly.
So tell us about the federation itself. Like, compare it to some of the other organizations, maybe. For example, people have asked me questions, well, which organization should I go into? Which one is truly natural? I think there's a consensus out there that some of the so-called natural federations or associations compromise the drug standard and allow people to come in that obviously when you look at them or they assume that they're on something or maybe they weren't tested. I've been in shows where there was random testing, and just by coincidence, all the guys at the bottom of the barrel were tested, and only three out of, say, a few hundred, and none of the guys at the top were tested, and they looked like they were jacked. You can never tell, right? So what are your thoughts on that?
Definitely, Corey. You know, that's a great question. And, you know, and I always look at other organizations. I'm just so grateful to be a federation and kind of in the mix with everybody else. And what separates us from everybody else is not only the fact of our drug testing, it's the same sort of rules and regulations as the WNBF and the INBF standard, which is every competitor prior to competition would undergo a polygraph examination and would obviously have to pass that examination. And from there, they would compete on the show day, which typically is a Saturday. The overall champions who would be awarded their pro cards that night then go through a urine test as well to really further ensure that that athlete is 100% clean. What's really unique about that as well is none of the paperwork or actual pro cards or anything is sent out to the competitor until the tests have come back to Charlie or Nancy or myself. And from there, we then tell you, notify the athlete that, you know, you're good, you passed all your exams and tests, and then you're awarded your WNBF pro card.
Yeah, you know, that's great. So initially you screen with a polygraph. I love Law and Order, that show, and the implication in a comment made last night by one of the leading actors was she had to screen some of her fellow police officers and run them through a polygraph. And the implication statement was that they all knew how to beat it. So that she herself said, well, that's not reliable because we're all police officers and we all know how to beat it. So what do you think about that? Someone says, well, you know, the polygraph isn't recognized in the court of law, so therefore it's not legitimate, so therefore it's no good as a screening or detection method. What is your response to that?
That's a great question, Corey, and I'm glad you mentioned that, is because, you know, the polygraph is a very, I think, a unique test, and I think it actually comes down to who you're having polygraph as far as the actual company or organization or the forensic experts that are doing it, and I think that's a real important thing, and I think that the polygraph examination typically, from what we've seen actually in all of our contests and shows over the last 6 years, has been very fair and just for all of our competitors. You know, we've had people that haven't passed, unfortunately. But I think that, you know, over looking over it kind of from a whole perspective of competitor-wise, you know, it's going to really detect the people that aren't going to tell them the truth. And I think that's one thing that Ken, I've really found Ken and Leslie to really find out is the examination is actually a half an hour long. And, you know, a lot of competitors will come in there and they're quite nervous and usually scared about the examination because they aren't sure what to expect. But they actually might fail the exam for reasons that don't even pertain to taking any sort of drugs of any kind. And we really found that Ken has run a really solid program of really finding out the deceptions through means of, if there are deceptions in the athletes, by means of asking the right questions, but also getting them calmed down in the beginning of the examination so that they actually can kind of go deep into the questions to find that deception, if there is deception. And then from there, kind of our second tier examination is the urine testing of the overall champion. So that really ensures that when we award that pro card, we make solid sure that that athlete is 100% drug-free and clean from all sort of compounds that could have enhanced their performance.
Yeah. I hear you big time, and that's good. I like the screening. There's got to be a means of detection. You know, as you know, with Lance Armstrong, who else comes to mind? A number of athletes. Ben Johnson, who used drugs where the detection methods failed, you know, the highest levels of detection in the Olympics. And so we all know that it's not 100% fail-safe, that there's risk. But I think that for me, like, I competed in a WNBF show, and I think Ken was the actual screening dude, and I actually enjoyed the process. I actually really liked going through that, and I evaluated the experience myself as a very positive experience. So I think that's great what you're doing. Now, yesterday in the health food store, my daughter works as an advisor, and I was in there chatting with her, and one of her colleagues comes up to me and says, you know, Corey, I know that you help people train for competitions, and I know you're a competitive bodybuilder yourself. Would you like to help me? I said, absolutely, sure. So I said, what have you got in mind? Now, she mentioned your organization because I recommended it, but I said, you know, there's different categories, and she said, I'm not sure. I don't know which one to go into. So I thought it was kind of interesting. I said, well, you got to look at the bodies and sort of get a feel for what you want to look like, because the female bodybuilding is not the same, as you well know, Matt, as a Miss Figure or Miss Fit. The look is entirely different, the training, the dietary strategy. So I think maybe if you could go through the categories that you provide and then help someone thinking about going into maybe one or a couple of them or whatever, how do they decide which one to go in?
Definitely, Corey. Well, first off, thanks for recommending us, Corey. I appreciate that. You know, it's a great question. So how we kind of distinguish the four categories is actually four categories for the female. And I'll work category by category in a very brief, simple description of how a female competitor could actually distinguish the different kinds. So obviously the more extreme version for the female competitor for conditioning and symmetry and muscularity is your female bodybuilding. And that's scored over two rounds for a symmetry round, and the second round is muscularity and conditioning. Then we kind of go up the chain, which the next level of category is the misfit body. And the misfit body is a bit softer look. They are looking for the conditioning of a bodybuilder. There's no scoring on the model walk or beauty and presentation. It's actually scoring. There's two rounds of scoring for a misfit body. It's symmetry and it's muscle tone. So basically looking for muscle tone and balance in the muscle of the body and the rest of the body. Then you go up one more level and you've got figure. And figure is a bit softer look than your misfit body. It's sort of the category that we find a lot of female competitors tend to go into. And the figure scored over three rounds. So the first round is your symmetry round. The second is tone. And the third is beauty presentation / model walk. So it's a third scoring for each round. And then the last category of competitor is the female fitness model, which is also categorized more so as a bikini for a lot of females as well. And that's sort of like our entry level for a lot of competitors. You find a lot of first-time athletes in the female side will enter the female fitness model to get their feet wet. And they may even do that category in the figure just to see what category fits them the best. But as far as that category, the three rounds in the female fitness model are scored as first round is beauty presence, which we're looking for facial beauty, tan, hair, makeup, and nails, and et cetera. The second round is overall fitness and balance in the body. And the third round is presentation / model walk. So how well are you poised on stage and so forth. So that's really the four categories, Corey. And it's something that I'm glad you brought up, because a lot of females have questions. And typically if a female emails us or asks us, what do you think, Matt or Roseanne or Kate or anybody in the executive team, we just say, you know what, try two categories on your first show and just see which one you like the best. We typically suggest the fitness model and the figure as a starting point, and we kind of build them up from there.
You know, I'm going to recommend that she make contact with you, and then maybe she can have a discussion with one of your female reps or ambassadors who maybe has competitive experience, and then she can get a better feel for it. Because I find that persuasion at this time is enormously important. She's got the desire, and she's a natural athlete. She's not into the drugs. She wants a level playing field. That's my feelings and sentiment exactly. But now which category do I go in? And so, because the methodologies, the strategies, the dietary, you know, I told her, look, you want to get hard and maybe lose some breast tissue. You know, that's what female bodybuilding is going to do. It's going to reduce you to just essentially muscle, very little fat, and just your bone, pretty much, right?
Exactly. You got exactly right, Corey.
As opposed to the figure, which is a softer, more gentle, more sort of conventional, acceptable standard and all that stuff. So, but you got to be who you are, I told her. I said, be true to yourself. Just go for it. Ignore what anyone says. Now, what are your thoughts on drugs in bodybuilding? Of course, we know, you know, that drugs are in all the sports. I read something recently about ping pong players in Korea being tested positive for steroids. Everyone thinks it's about muscle mass. But, you know, it's tolerance to the training, you know, the tolerance to jet lag. The steroids turn you into sort of a semi-Superman in some ways. You can do things that are extraordinary where everyone else is tired and suffering with fatigue syndromes. So why would someone not want to go into a non-tested bodybuilding show who doesn't really want to take the steroids?
That's a great question, Corey. You know, and you're right, steroids are sort of a, an interesting concept that's really grasped onto so many other things that we've never even would have thought about. You know, going back to your question is, from a personal standpoint, I've always believed, specifically bodybuilders, whether they're natural or not natural, they'll have to work very hard. And there's a lot of work ethic involved in bodybuilding. My personal passion is natural, drug-free bodybuilding, and that's a passion. And, you know, whenever I talk to athletes about it and we educate people on natural bodybuilding, you know, it's a persistent thing. It takes time, you know. It's about patience and virtues and, you know, working hard to develop that physique. And, you know, you may take you 5 or 7 years to get that physique as if a guy who maybe took 1 year would have taken to get. But you know that you've gotten the physique and, you know, it's maintainable for a long period of time. And it's funny, Corey, because I have a lot of friends in the industry, whether they're natural or not natural, and a few of my not natural friends, unfortunately, have so many health problems. And, you know, I had a buddy here that in Montreal who unfortunately was preparing for a show, and, you know, and he just wasn't taking care of himself, and he tore one of his muscles from the tendon. And, you know, and I just said, you know what, it's your own decision. It's so heartbreaking for me as a person, because you want to tell these people, like, you know, it's hurting your health, it's compromising your longevity and your life, and you do it from a means of care and love for people, but at the same time, they have to make their own choice. And, you know, all you can do is educate, promote your passion, love the sport, and eventually, like, we've noticed INBF is growing by 25% every year in competitor turnout. And that just, for me, it's gratifying, because we're seeing more and more of these natural competitors, and there's more of a stage for them. There's more of an opportunity for them to grow and promote their passion. So I'm not the hater kind of guy. I'm more of the, it's your choice, but at the same time, this is my passion. This is what I promote for people to really, you know, promote longevity in lives.
Yeah. For me, it was health. That is the reason why I chose not to. At a time when they were legal, you literally went to a doctor and got a prescription, and you said, I want steroids, I'm a bodybuilder, and you got a prescription. And what I liked about that was that you got a reliable quality control product. You went to a drugstore pharmacy. Now, as you know, it's an underground sort of mafia situation. You don't know what the heck's in there. I don't know how many people can actually test an injectable steroid to determine what's in it, whether there is anything in it or not. Who knows, right? Or whether it's contaminated. I'm pro-legalization of all drugs. I think that making them illegal is what creates death and destruction. But that's another issue altogether. But health in my mind was the reason why I didn't cross the line. I was also concerned that I might lose my mind, because if I crossed the line and I was so hungry, so wanting to build the muscle, so wanting to look like Arnold and to be Mr. Olympia, that I thought if I crossed the line that there would be no coming back and that it would destroy me. So that was another area of review, of introspection. So I think that this really comes down to really a review of your character, a lot of foresight, thinking ahead of the future. Because, you know, all my friends that did it or took them, you know, they suffered, like you mentioned that too, and in many different ways. And I'm so glad that I never crossed the line, because now I can hold my head up and say I didn't. But what about you? Did you try them and then learn by the experience that they were negative? Because I've seen that kind of person who becomes a proponent of non-drug use. Or did you also consider taking them but decided not to, and for whatever reason?
I've never taken a steroid or a drug or a poor hormone, actually, in my life, and actually never even considered taking them and never even had the temptation of taking them. And I actually had one guy ask me, I remember in the locker room one time when I was 21, and I says, you know what? There is absolutely no temptation for me to take it. And I think the biggest reason for me, and I love your conception, Corey, of health. I agree with you. Health is one of my main motivators about why I didn't go that route. But I think the biggest thing for me is proving myself, proving that this can be done drug-free. You don't need to take shortcuts to achieve your goals and your life and your dreams. And that was probably even a bigger motivator for me, is being a source or a means or any way that I could to say, you know what, to other people, usually younger people or even athletes who are in their mid-30s or 40s or whatever, but to say, you know what, this can be done, and you don't need to take the shortcuts of injectables or orals or whatever. And I'm blessed for that opportunity. So that's sort of my main motivator.
Yeah. You know, you reminded me, Trace and I used to own Spartacus Gym in Vancouver. It's like an East End hardcore gym. And you remember when you said the locker room, I just remembered all the things that are said and done in the locker room, huh? I mean, that's a whole story in the TV network in itself.
Oh, goodness, Corey, you're so right.
What about the gym itself? For me, it's my church. I go to church 5 days a week, and I worship. And I know the secret of steel. I'm sure that you do, obviously. And you're there to bear arms. It's a war. It's gravity. It's physics. It's biochemistry. It's a great science. That's what I love about it. People think we're muscle heads and not too bright, but the opposite is actually true. It's a test of character, discipline. You got to show up, do the work. You got to repeat. It does get somewhat monotonous for a lot of people. What do you say to someone that says, what a boring thing, man, going in the gym, lifting weights. How boring, you know, like, how do you do it? So do you think that bodybuilding and lifting weights in today's lifestyle, for the mainstream conventional lifestyle, we're not living on farms, we're not hunting, fishing, gathering, do you think it is essential, that resistance training, to create that anabolic flux inside the body? Do you think that anyone can do it and everyone should possibly consider doing it?
100%, Corey. Yeah, 100%. And I believe that it comes down to perception psychology. And, you know, a lot of these people have a perception or psychology that, you know, when they go on in this nutritional program, all they can eat is rice, chicken, and broccoli. And which I kind of chuckled because it's a lot more than that. There's so much byproduct when you live this lifestyle. It's about living a life, living a lifestyle. So going out and having supper with friends if you'd like, or having a glass of wine with your spouse or whichever it is, but it's all in moderation and balance. And I think the biggest thing is when I talk to people is that exercise is like one of the most important things to help you feel good, have the endorphin release, to really heighten up your longevity and your energy every day, to really deliver in all parts of your life, to your family, your relationship, to your faith, to your work, your job, your career, everything, even dealing with stress. And I just feel whether you compete or not, exercise and nutrition is just absolutely essential to living an amazing life.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What a wonderful statement. It's like a mission statement, what you just said. You know, our time is up. I can't believe it. We just gobbled up 30 minutes in about 2 minutes, it seems. There's so much I wanted to talk to you about. I just want to mention the fact that you're an author. You've got 3 books. And all of this is on your site. You're involved in a great product, it looks like, a performance recovery drink called RE7. So maybe you can tell us about your websites, where our listeners can go to learn about, number one, bodybuilding, competing, the drink that you've been involved with, and also if they want to download and buy some of your books.
Well, thanks, Corey. Yeah, no problem. The RE7, you can go to drinkre7.com. Basically, it's a vitamin and mineral recovery drink that is all natural and organic. And it's actually good for anybody at any age of any, you don't have to work out to actually use the product. It's a replenishment product for your health. It helps the body with pH levels. It helps replenish the body and so forth, especially my company with my Uncle Mike. That's the RE7. The actual books, they all stemmed from my passion. I just actually wrote these books about 5 years ago just because I wanted to write books, never to sell them or make any money off them, because I had a passion for peak mindset and working out and training, which I created that peak mindset training manual, and then also the power goals as well and the pinnacle performance, because I believe that goal setting is huge in life, and the other huge thing is how you start your day. And pinnacle performance is all about how you start the day and how you end the day. And whether it's your rituals of meditation, whether it's prayer, whether it's goal setting or reviewing your plans or whatever, if you don't plan your life will plan it for you. So I really believe it's really important to have the essentials of training your psychology to perform at a high level so you can live your best self every single day.
And what about if we want to get information on INBF, what's the website for that?
It's INBFCanada.com, and you can go there. We have 5 shows this year, and we have 1 pro show as well, Corey, in Calgary on May 31st.
And when is your next show in Vancouver?
No, you know, I'll just tell you the dates of all of them, actually, Corey, if you don't mind. The May 31st show is our Pro-Am, so it's INBF Canada National Natural Championships in the WNBF Intercontinental, and that's May 31st in Calgary. We have the Winnipeg Show, June 21st, and that's the Central Natural Championships. June 28th is the Vancouver. We've now called the West Coast Natural Championships. And then September 27th is the Eastern Championships in Montreal, Quebec. And then our last show of the year is our Western Naturals, and they are in Edmonton, Alberta on November the 1st.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so people can get to your site, get a description of the different categories, find out when the events are. You've also got some camps, I know. I've seen that on your site, and it's a very informative site. So I think that's the best way to start, really, is just get to the site and make contact. And you require a membership, and then you choose your category, and you pay a fee per category. Is that sort of how you work it?
Yes, sir, Corey. That's exactly how it is. And the camps, how we work those is we have camps before every show in each city that we have a show. And they're about a four-hour camp. We go over posing and presentation and training and really the basic essentials, even for the first-time athlete, right, to the veteran competitor as well.
Yeah, that's great. That's marvelous. You're doing great work. You're doing exactly how I would approach it. I've got some different ideas about the drug testing. One day we'll have to have a chat about that, a way to navigate around the whole issue that no one's quite thought of yet that I'd like to see become a reality one day. But maybe as a final question, Matt, you're on stage. You're basically naked in your underwear in front of a group of people. It's coming down to the wire. You're all alone. You're about to pose. What's going through your mind, and what's it all about?
You know, it's really, it's all about picture. It's all about really just showing your passion. It's showing your passion and your love for something that you love to do. And this is going to sound probably cliche or weird or strange, but one of the last things for me is my physique. It's really about demonstrating who I am and what I love to do. And this is who I am, and this is something that I love to do. And it's about health and showing what the body can do by means of the bodybuilding. It's all about, obviously, the body, but it's also how you present yourself, your energy you're giving yourself on stage. And I think that's the most important thing that athletes, I think, should really focus on is there's a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of egos, and I really try hard to keep my ego at the door, and I focus more on service. And I believe that's the most important thing in this industry to do, to really support everybody in this industry, help all the federations grow. And I think when you live from service, you really live from contribution and help.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Very well said, Matthew. Matthew Park has been my expert special guest on this edition of SNU. He's an author and an editor and a writer. He is the vice president of RE7, the president of INBF Canada. And get to his website, have a look at his information, his data, and if you have any interest in competing, please get to INBF Canada. Thank you very much, Matt.
Well, thank you very much, Corey. It was an honor to have this interview with you, and I just really appreciate your time, and thank you for everything the Corey Hall Institute has done for the sport, because you guys have been around for a very long time and had some amazing athletes, and we just really appreciate your support, Corey, and everything you guys do for us in the industry in general.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen. it's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with sports nutrition update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHolly.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.